in the working out of your plan, the glory of your Son, and your own glory. That, Father, we will always make those decisions in our life and led of the Spirit that will lend and give part to the glory of your Son. Father, we thank you for the excitement of things that you've brought into our midst in regard to the property. But, Father, we pray that our soul's attitude will be that we'll be done and that we will always be where you would have us to be, Father. That we will function accordingly, Father, whether it goes through or not. Accordingly being in accordance with your plan and desire and design of this assembly. Father, we pray for each of other in the assembly. As total sons, daughters, children, grandchildren now, that the life of Chris, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will still continue to work with him. That all of these things will work together for a young man who will spend the rest of his life glorifying your Son. And if these are the roads that have to be made to bring him to that point, then we give thanks for it, not regret. Father, we lay all these requests before you to work through for your glory. Continue to bring us to the point, Father, where we'll always be in prayer and that we will always present ourselves as your servant. And now, Father, as we enter into the study of Scripture, we pray that the Spirit will cause us to see what you would have us to see in regard to the passages tonight. No one ever penetrates the depth that is in the passages in Scripture. But Heavenly Father, if we're led of the Spirit, we will see the things that you would have this assembly at this time to see in these passages. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. By the way, Romeo. I'm sure a lot of you know Romeo. Romeo is a Filipino whose family comes on Sunday morning, his wife and daughter. And Romeo, I don't know if you know, Romeo has about three jobs. And he works at something like a 7-Eleven. He works delivering things out at the airport. And he has a third one. I mean, the man is always working. And his wife works. And their daughter is in one of the scholarly triathlons that the high schools do. And she'll be competing for that this weekend. So let's be in prayer for Romeo's daughter. A lovely lady, very sharp young lady, and mentally and she takes full advantage of the things that her father works to provide. And so please be in prayer. And just sit for the calmness. You know, the mental ability and all is there. The personality presentation is there. But you can get a little scary. And she's overcome so many things, from language to race differences and all these things. And you go before the things that she's got to go before. So please be in prayer. She's a sharp young lady and hope she does well in the competition. Okay, let's begin where we left off last week. Let's look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, powerful passage in our study of spiritual love and what it looks like. So let's look at Proverbs 17. We said a few words about Proverbs, and that's all that I'm going to do in regarding with the book of Proverbs. But we're just going to note a few things here and then move on and through our study. And not much for this passage, because we did spend some time on it last week. But we're dealing with what spiritual love looks like. And it's so important that we get an ideal and of the leading of the Holy Spirit. People, you don't have these things so that you can make them happen. And now that's very important when you study things in the Scriptures. These are not given so that you will go out and do this and make this happen. These are the things that we look for the Holy Spirit doing and having occur in our lives when we are indeed walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. He is the one that will produce these things. So in Proverbs chapter 17, a powerful verse, verse 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love. And so we dealt with he, and namely we're dealing with the born-again believer. And the first phrase, the two phrases in parallel, I just want to spend a moment since you get it, who covers. All right, so we're going to put who covers. So we have who covers, and then it says he who covers a transgression. Covers a transgression. So let's put down covers a transgression. All right, here is a transgression. Now look what it says about this person. He who covers a transgression, note what it says then, seeks love. Actually, this isn't where we started last week. I don't think I even brought the passage before. What is the one, Proverbs, I want to deal with the other one for a moment. 10:12. Let's go back to 10:12. I want to come to that one, of course, but let's just finish up at 10:12. This is what I want to, this is the one. Want to just bring a few things into mind and, about what spiritual love looks like in the scriptures. Hate stirs up strife. This is what we dealt with. So here's hate. Hate stirs, and this is very important, stirs up strife. All right, this is what hate does. Hate stirs up strife. Now, contrasted with that, so therefore we would really expect a poetic contrast if you're dealing with the Hebrew, with poetic Hebrew. You have this, and so we're going to expect a poetic contrast. So what we would expect, as we saw last week, love, okay? We're going to contrast love and hate. So if hate stirs up strife, for unity's momentum, what I expect to read when I'm reading a poetic literature, what I expect is love brings about, something like that, brings about unity, the opposite of strife. Here we have an opposite, 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 and that's going to flow well for us. It's not what we have. The writer doesn't keep that kind of a poetic line for us. What it says is, love covers. So, love covers up all transgressions. Now, this is rather interesting. It doesn't seem to go with what we're dealing with. But yes, it really does, because what we do is we really do have a poetic parallel here. Of course, we dealt with love and hate, stirs up. And so if you just take these two pictures, these two verbs, and think of them as a fire, and what you do to a fire, if you got a little fire here, and we want to get the heat going, we stir it up. What are we doing? We're getting oxygen. We're getting oxygen into the hot coals and stirring it up so that the oxygen gets in and the flame starts up and really get going. And so we've got the strife between people, between believers in a family, between believers in a church, between believers at work, wherever it'll be, we stir up the strife, disunity, anger, hate, all these things. Now, we'll go back to your fire thing again. Just the opposite of stirring up, what would you do? You cover it up. You cut off the oxygen. You're going to cut it off right there so that the oxygen doesn't get in and it doesn't get stirred up. So, and what are we talking about? The transgressions, the sins, the failures. So here we're dealing with stirring up the transgressions, the sins, the failures. Make sure everybody knows about it. Deal with it in every way that you can so you can stir up a lot of strife. Love, though, covers up all transgressions. Now, last week, Estelle was saying that she thinks of covering up, going back to covering up until the cross. Well, that's thinking in terms of the mercy seat. That's where we get that kind of thinking, because in the mercy seat, here's the mercy seat, and you come in and you bring the blood over, and what the blood does, it covers up the sins inside, the three articles inside of the Ark of the Covenant, and this is the blood of Christ, and when Christ comes, then it's all taken care of. But I'm going to show you that this goes into the New Testament after this, so it's a concept about love that while it pictures some of the things here, it isn't the ideal of this, because we would not have that then after the cross. And so, but we're going to see that we do. This is something that love will do in an individual's life. So when a believer comes across sin and transgression, he covers it up. Then we have the important word of all. Does it really mean all? Does it really mean all transgressions? Well, this is what every believer has to decide. Does it really mean that, or does it mean some? Does it mean just the little ones? Or does it really mean all transgressions? But in our study, in our proverb, this is what hate looks like. This is what love. This is the environment that love will create. Love creates an environment where the sins and failures of others just simply cover it up. A lot of people have trouble with that. Oh, well, you're just trying to hide sin. You're trying to cover up sin. And that's what they accuse the present day. Love, Christians especially, love this because they want it all out in the open. Then they'll go back and talk about the cross. They talk about God and what God does, but they want everybody's sins all spread out. And yet, if you read the scripture, that just isn't there. This is what love does when it comes across the transgression. One thing before we leave this. Why are we talking about all of this stuff when we talk about love? Because in a parable, Jesus Christ says that, you know, if somebody's good to you and you're good to them in return, even the heathens do that. That's not anything. We're talking about the effect of love when it's being tested, when it's under pressure. That's when you find out about a person's love. Not on the honeymoon when everybody's happy, or supposed to be, but you find it out a few months later, a few years later, whatever the case may be. You find it out when people hurt you, sin against you, fail, disappoint, all this kind of thing. Now what does your love do? Love is, if it's nice, when you're nice, what is that? That's conditional love. I'm nice to you, you're nice to me. That's conditional love. This is unconditional love. This is what love does. Now let's go on to our next passage. Let's look at chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 9. Chapter 17, verse 9. Okay, we're dealing with the believer. He who covers a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Okay, people, get this fundamental fact down in your mind. You can separate intimate friends. Yes. Does that mean you're right? No. Does not mean you're right. But you can do it. A lot of people think because they have separated a husband and wife, caused them to divorce because of adultery or some problem there, that they're right. And the fact that it has been dissolved, the fact that the friends have separated, the marriage is broken, all of that makes me right. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Once you understand from this passage, you can do that. But I want you to understand something from Satan. And I'd like you to understand that Satan's in the business of destroying. Anybody can destroy people. The art is in building. The art is in keeping close friends close in the midst of pressure. Can you do that? Can you do that? That's an art. If we talk about it from the secular world standpoint, talk about it from the spiritual realm, that's love. That's spiritual love. In the secular world, I would use the word art. That's an art. A person who can come along, and when there's sin, failure, disappointment, whatever it may be, and you can keep two people intimately close friends and cause them to remain close friends even in the midst of what's happened. In the spiritual realm, that's spiritual love. Now let's take a look at our passage and see what we have going on in the passage. He who covers transgressions seeks love. This is the environment that spiritual love is going to create in you. This is what you are going to desire. Spiritual love is going to desire this type of faith. Spiritual love does not desire a man and woman to separate, does not desire intimate friends to separate. A true spiritual love does not desire that. If that's what your desire is to separate and to divide, know this, you're not dealing in spiritual love. So this is the environment that spiritual love is going to create. The word covers a transgression. This is what love is going to do. This is the love that we studied before. It's the spiritual love. The word here is the word to seek. I want to talk about the word to seek. Chatas is the Hebrew word. It wouldn't mean anything for me to write it on the board. What it does, though, is what the word deals with. It deals with your thinking, deals with your goal, deals with what you seek or desire. What you seek, what you desire to exist. Do you seek an environment of love, of keeping intimate friends together in spite of failure, in spite of what may go on, and other people have all the reasons on why they should not remain intimate friends, why it should not remain together? And what spiritual love does, it has a desire or goal to keep them united. Or do you have an environment in your soul of revenge? Do you have a desire in your soul that this person deserves to be cast out or thrown out or divorced or whatever the case may be? Do you desire to live under the environment of the new commandment, or do you desire to live under the environment of, your own ideal of what? The law. What the law is going to do. Last week we looked at Zephaniah. Didn't we look at Zephaniah last week? Yeah, I thought so. Zephaniah 2:3. We're commanded to seek the Lord. You have to decide to what you're going to seek. We're told in our study in the New Testament what? Pursue love. Diligently pursue it. How do we pursue love? Pursue walking by faith in the Spirit. So, what do you pursue in life? What do you desire in life? What is your goal in life? And it's very important, because you're going to act on that goal. You're going to act on what you desire, what you seek in life. And a lot of people, all they seek in life is their own self-preservation. All they seek is their own self. Well, a lot of people will not serve one another. A lot of people will not try to restore another believer. Why not? Because I've got to remain pure. I know people like this. For my own purity, I have got to be sure I separate and I do everything to hurt and destroy others. Their thinking is the thinking of Satan. Okay, the thinking of Satan is this. Here's a great gulf, and under this gulf is the human race. Here's God. God is holy. If God comes down to save the human race, he no longer remains holy. So God has to stay separated from the human race in order to remain holy. If God comes down, he's no longer holy. People, that's the whole deal with the fact of God becoming man and actually entering the human race in order to bring us into his realm. This is what is phenomenal. So you're not going to in any way mar your position if you restore a believer who is in sin. So it comes down to, what is your goal and desire? Is your goal and desire your own self, your own what you want? Or is your goal and desire that in this situation, God's love is going to be demonstrated? God's love is going to create an environment here. So these are the things we have to decide. Before you're injured by another, before you're wronged by another, you had an objective. You had a goal. You had a mission. The marriage, together, to glorify God, to fulfill the desired plan, whether they're children or not, whatever the case may be, what God is doing. As far as a local assembly, friendship, whatever it might be in that relationship, in your life. Now, then sin comes along. Failure comes along. Some kind of hurt, some kind of wrong comes along. Now, you're stuck with an issue. What do you desire? What do you now seek? I want to make this. You've got a relationship. Whether it's friendships, because we're dealing with friendships here. So we've got a marriage. We've got a friendship going on. We have a local assembly of believers for the local church here. Whatever the case may be. And you have goals and desires and things going on in this relationship and in this friendship and in the local church. And then we have the problem of, I'll do it like this, we have the problem of sin or failure in some way. Sin, failure, hurt, disappointment. Now, right here, becomes the great issue. What's your desire? What do you seek? Vengeance? Wrath? Righteousness? Law? These kinds of things? Or do you seek to restore everything and just keep right on going on with this mission? When we studied Hosea, what did we study? Okay, if Hosea, you ought to divorce your wife. She's out going to bed with other men. She's taking money and things that you give her and giving to her lovers. You ought to just get rid of her. If I get rid of her, I can no longer be her husband. And the law's response to that is that's exactly right. Why would you even want to be? The answer, because I love her. I want to be her husband. I want to be a husband to her. So, what is your goal or desire? The word is seeking. I'm dealing with that word seek. What do you seek when sin is involved? And you have to decide that, people. And you can do it theologically sitting in Bible class. But boy, when it comes right down to your marriage, your home, your life, your friendship, your church, then you have to decide, what do I seek when somebody else sins against me or in some kind of this? Do you still seek this goal? Do you still seek the desires that you had all laid out before? Or is it all changed now, and now you seek something else? Now it's changed. So this word seek becomes very important. That's why you have the same idea in our study of pursue love. And we study that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love. Look at it with me a minute. This is what we're to pursue. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's been a while since we've looked at it, so let's look at it again. Starts off in chapter 14, pursue love. Desire earnestly spiritual gifts to grab you, but especially that you may prophesy and all these things. But it starts off, pursue love. So what do you seek? What do you pursue? What's going on in your mind? What do you think has to be? And people, I can make a very good argument right here with you. I can make a very good argument that, boy, when there is sin, we ought to seek righteousness, we ought to seek law, we ought to seek all these kind of things. And bring you to verses. Or, you can see what Scripture is saying, you seek the environment of love. And what love is going to bring about, getting back to this goal, getting back. So, go back now to our study in Proverbs. This word becomes very important. What do you seek? Do you seek revenge? Do you seek to get even? To hurt them? To bring about some kind of change? Or do you seek love? The love, this love that we're talking about, the love of spiritual love. Do you seek to continue your mission? Do you seek to continue your goal, your purpose? Do you seek to fulfill the command, the new commandment that I have given to you to love one another as I have loved you? Do you seek to be consistent in that command? Or now things have changed. Because you've done this, things have changed. Yes?
That seeking, as well as the seeking in 1 Corinthians 14, is the seeking of the Spirit.
Exactly. Exactly.
The love of
the love that He brings. And that's what the Spirit does. Yes. That's how you do it. That's why that was my point a while ago when I said, we don't want to go out and we're going to seek to keep the unity or something. No. If you walk in love here, because I don't know how to do that. Look at what the second half of verse 9 says. Second half of verse 9 says, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate and friends. I don't know how to keep intimate and friends together. Because it's going to change with every circumstance. It's going to change with every circumstance. I can't give you 20 rules, and by these rules, they will guide you whenever you come into a problem between married couples or friends or whatever it is, and more if you'll apply these, it'll keep them as friends. I can't do that. What I can do is tell you spiritual love will seek unity. Spiritual love will seek to keep them, to keep the intimate and friends, not separate them. How? Each time is different. That's why all we can say is to pursue the love. This is what we and I have to do, is to seek the love. If you do desire these things, then you walk in spirit. You walk in the leading of the Spirit, and He will guide you. You will long to, your desire will be spiritual love, in effect. He who covers a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Now, obviously people, gossip, maligning, all these kinds of things are referred to here. When you repeat what you know, or what you think you know, or what you have seen, these kinds of things. He repeats that he keeps bringing it up. It goes back to stirring it up in our previous proverb. He keeps bringing it up. He's stirring it up. Every time he opens his mouth, it is to open the wound. It is not to bring about unity. It's not to bring about friendship. It's to open the womb. Every time he opens his mouth, he wants to be sure. And he's the Christian example of this in the secular world. Newspaper reporters. They just simply cannot report on anything without bringing up something about the bad. Something. I don't care what they're going to write about Richard Nixon. I don't care if it has to do with anything else. They're going to be sure that in their 10 sentences about Richard Nixon and whatever they're going to bring his name up for, he was the president impeached. That went up for an impeachment and all this kind of stuff. They got to do it. They cannot just leave it alone. And that's the way Christians are. Christians do the same thing. Whenever they talk about one another, the failure comes out. He's the one that, she's the one that. And this is what they're going to do. So, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. He repeats it, keeps on bringing it up, so that he can open the wound or do what? Stir up the strife. Keep the hurt. Keep the pain rather than the cure. People, anyone can do that. Anyone can destroy. That's what Satan can do. Spiritual love is a medicine that covers up the hurt. Spiritual love is a medicine that cures the effect of sin. But this believer does not seek unity. This believer does not seek to cover it up. He seeks disunity, and he thinks he's preserving God by doing it. He does not care about the people, doesn't care about the Lord. He purposefully seeks to divide, to create an environment of disharmony. And yet he's doing this for God. He will tell you that he's... And this is what law does. Law kills. Always remember that. The law kills. That's its purpose. If you go by the law, just remember the purpose of the law is to kill. I'm going to be the law. Then your purpose is to kill. That's the purpose of the law. The law kills. The law increases sin. So if you're going to live by the law, just hang it right up. Your purpose is to bring about sin. That's why the lawless one in 1 John is who? The person trying to live by the law. He's the lawless one. Because he's going to bring about, if you live by law, you are going to bring about lawlessness. You're going to bring about death. Because that's what the law is designed to do. It is amazing just how many believers love to spread sins and the faults and the failures of others. In fact, they become snakes themselves. Galatians chapter 2. We won't turn there, but what happened? Paul said they even spy out our liberty that we have in Christ. They even want to come. They even go to the spa to see if Timothy, Titus, and his young men have been circumcised. People, wouldn't you love that as your assignment for Christ? We want you to go to the spa and see if Timothy has been circumcised. We want you to find out if Titus has been circumcised. I think I get the idea. I don't belong here. The minute I walked into the gym and thought, no, this isn't right. And this isn't what I want to do. If this is what God is about, forget it. Something's wrong. But there are people, well, this is what they got to do. They have got to spy. They have got to tell. They've got to do these things. And they're doing it for God. This is why they are doing it. And so this is what they're trying to cause up. Now, but he who repeats the matter, gossip, maligning, slander, these kind of things, separates intimate friends. Now, let's just get it down. You can separate friends. You can separate husband and wife. You can do that. It has been done, and it will continue to be done by Christians. But the point is, that does not mean that you are right. That you are right in doing so. Doesn't mean that you were right. It just means that you have accomplished that. But I want you to understand, the greater challenge is, in the midst of sin and failure, can you and your part keep them together? That's the great difficulty. That's a great job. Sin's already done its damage. The sin, whoever committed the sin and the failure and the hurt, can you come along with whatever influence you have in the matter, can you do what you do to keep them together? That's powerful. And not many can do that. Spiritual love seeks that. That's what spiritual love seeks to do. Now, let's look, and while we're here, look at verse 19. Look at verse 19 in the same chapter. He who loves transgression loves strife. He who raises his door seeks destruction. And we'll go through, we're going to do through the whole thing. He who loves transgression loves strife. It's the part that I want you to see here. This is the, and here love is used in a different a way. It puts it into a different manner for us. 10:12 said, hate stirs up strife, love covers transgression. So there's a great gulf between loving the sinner here and you know, people get involved with this whole thing of people. Let me explain something. There's a difference between sin and a sinner. First, we're talking about a believer. The person who sins against you, let's say a Christian sins against you. That's not the Christian you're going to be with for all eternity. That's the old man that is going to die at the rapture, die at death, stays here. You're not going to be with that person for eternity. See the person you're going to be with for all eternity. That's who you're going to be with. And that's the new man. That's the spiritual man that did not commit the sin. And that's the one that we want to restore and bring back to God. So there's a great difference between those two in your life. Now, let's look, oh my goodness, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's go to the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 4. Been so long since we've done anything in a lot of these books. This is why James and I have been talking about having a night, just come down and just sit down and go through and read and see what's going on in a lot of these books and passages. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to look just at two verses in brief, verses 7 and 8. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober. The spirit is not in the original text. Be of sound judgment and sober for the purpose of prayer. People, I hope that you, I don't have to hope that you have a good prayer life. What I have to hope is that you are walking in the Spirit. If you will walk in the Spirit, one of the things that is going to happen in your life is a desire to communicate with God. Christ came to bring you to the Father. The Spirit came to bring us to Christ. Christ is going to take you to the Father. If you're walking in the Spirit, He's going to bring you to the point in your spiritual life where you are going to just be motivated by the movement, the leading of the Spirit, not because of the pastor or some kind of a program, to go into prayer, to pray to God the Father. And there are so many things that interfere with the prayer. Now, the first thing here, the end of all things is at hand. And we saw it on New Year's special. This is the way you and I ought to live. If you do that, then so many things that are important day in and day out that will break the harmony between a husband and wife, if you look in the realm of eternity, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I read the front page this morning, or yesterday. Sat down to read it. And I go work out real early, come back, and it's just nice thing to do is to sit down after that and open up the paper. And reading about the mudslide and the homes that were underneath it. A man went to his property. His house is gone. Gone. Right there, it's supposed to be his house, and it's gone. And the only thing that survived was his dog. So rescuers now are digging down to try to find the remains of his wife and children. It puts things in a lot of perspective of, you know, I'm not saying you should not value things you have and be appreciative of things you have, but to interrupt a relationship between a husband and wife because something is broke, because something didn't turn out the way you wanted it to in regard to the things, what does that compare to eternity? Is that really important to your love for each other that day? Is it really important for the eternal aspect? And that's what I try to convey a little bit in New Year's Eve, getting ready for the study of Revelation. If we live in the respect of that it could all end today, are the things that we allow to interrupt this morning and interrupt our life and our relationship with people that are important to us in life, is it really, really worth it? Yes, people, that's a tough thing to do. Because at that given moment, yeah, that is important. But this is why you have these verses, and we looked at it in New Year's Eve, not New Year's Eve because it didn't rain for me because of the weather, but our little special was the verses that just, this is something that should be on your mind and just our thoughts all the time. He could come today. If he were to come today, and if these things were to come, is this really all that important? It's really not all that important. Okay, enough preaching on that. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment. That's what I'm talking about in regard to relationships and the spiritual walk and people, what we do with our time, money, things like this. And sober for the purpose of prayer. Now, above all, now this is where it's powerful. I like that phrase, above all. All. Just above everything. Just all the things we want to talk about. Above all. Fervent in your love for one another. People, I don't want to press this too hard, but I do want you to see it. What if I were to say above prayer? Above even the importance of prayer. Above all. You've been coming right off of the previous verse. Well, I've just told you how important prayer is. But even above all of that, even above prayer, fervent in your love for one another. New commandment. Now, why? Why love for one another? Here you have it. Because. That's a powerful because. That is a powerful statement now. Because. Okay, why? Above all things, fervent in your love for one another? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Now let me get this right. Think about this. This is your causal statement. Why do I want to love one another? What did Christ say in the New Commandment? Love one another, by this all will know that you're mine. That makes sense. If I have the love of Christ toward another, people will know that I am of Christ and this is Christ's love. Boom. So I want to do that. But here, Peter says something kind of difficult to work with in our minds. I want you to love one another. And the reason I want you to love one another is because of something that love will do. Love covers a multitude of sins. Peter, why would you and the Holy Spirit want this? Why would you desire that person's sins be covered? Why? That's why we read the first proverb. Because if you don't, you're going to stir up the turmoil, the strife, the problems that sin creates. People, sins create problems. Make no doubt about it. And a law person says, you're right. And boy, if you made your bed, you got to lay down in it. And all the things that happen to you because of your sin, you deserve them. And that's right, according to law. This is why law people don't like verses like this. Because this is not law. But that causal statement is powerful because if you are doing this law for one another, you're going to cover up a lot of a multitude of sins. Their sins, the sins are just going to be covered. If they're covered, what happens? They don't get the oxygen to be stirring up, causing disunity, causing problems, causing all of that. Yes, but they're going to be getting away with sin. People, if you and I believe the cross, are they getting away with it? Well, no, but that's it. No, it is not. People, you don't get to praise God and thank God and do all the great sermons and all the talk about the cross of Christ and then turn around and say, yeah, but it really doesn't matter in real life because people got to pay for their sins. Christ died and paid for all the sins of the world, past, present, and future sins. Christ paid for all. But you got to pay for your sins. And if you don't pay for them, you're getting away with it. Nobody's getting away with anything if you believe what happened on the cross. If you believe that God is in control. And is that really what you want to see? Is everybody pay for their sins? Be careful. Is that really what you want to see? Then you better be ready to pay for all your sins. Oh, well, mine aren't real bad. Doesn't matter. You break one law, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. So if you're going to deal with God on the basis of law, then let's stay with it. Well, if I pay for mine, but they're on it really bad, and there's this much punishment for this much sin, that much... No, people, if you break the law, you break the law. You sin, you sin. So if you want everybody to pay for their sins, be ready. Because how you deal in judgment is how God's going to deal with you then. But what we have going on here is nobody's getting away with anything. The cross has already taken care of it. And what spiritual love does is spiritual love covers it up so that the sins don't stir. You know, Christians make a great deal out of sin. And they keep it going, keep it big. Spiritual love, God's love, says, no, it's all taken care of here. It's taken care of here. There's something more important than stirring it up. It's a goal, the objective. Okay, so our passage looks like this. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober. For the purpose of prayer, above all, including prayer, above prayer. Let me just do it that way so I can emphasize. Above prayer. Above all. Keep fervent. That goes back to that desire. Keep fervent in your love for one another. Keep walking in the Spirit. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Spiritual love is long-suffering. This is what spiritual love can do. Spiritual love is long-suffering and therefore protects from further sins. People, if you don't cover it up, you're going to create more sins and more sins. But the long-suffering of love minimizes sin. It cuts it off. It isn't going to let it go into other sins and more sins and more sins and more sins. You're not denying that a sin has been created between somebody and somebody else or whatever the case might be. But why do you want to just create more sins with your slander, your judgment, and then the division, and you stir up the strife, and the strife ends up in division, and you separated intimate friends? Isn't sin wonderful? Sin didn't do that. Law did it. But look what love does. Love says, we're going to isolate this right now. We're going to cut off the oxygen. We're going to cut off the life supply of the effect of sin, and we're going to end it right there so that we can get on with the purpose and the mission. This is what love does. It's closing the word of God. Heavenly Father, what kind of God are you? As we study and we understand what love does, love covers a multitude of sins. That's what kind of God you are, because God is love. And what does he cover? A multitude of sins. You cover them at the cross. This is what your love does. Father, I pray that the Spirit will cause us to get an insight into these things. It pricks our soul, Father, especially when we're in the middle of it. Yeah, but But look at the sin they did. Look what they did. Look at the damage. Look at this. Look at that. To the point where we say, yeah, but let's look what love does. We reach the point, Father, where we can just look and say, yes, but let's cut it off. That's bad, but let's don't make it worse. Let's cut out the oxygen. Cut out the life source of sin. When we do that, Heavenly Father, when we change the environment to the environment of spiritual life. Father, pray that we'll walk in your spirit so these things will become a reality in our souls. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.